And the gold medal goes to...
Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com. Welcome, my friends from all around the globe. I'm Amelia Dalton, and this week we're talking about EDA, design tools, the stuff we need to make the stuff we make work right. First up, we're talking RTL, registers, behavior modification, and more with Anupam Bakshi from Agnosys. Check it out.
My guest today is Anupam Bakshi from Agnosys. Thank you so much for joining me, Anupam.
Thank you, Amelia, for having me here.
So it's been a while since we last talked. What's new with Agnosys?
So we've been doing registers for a very long time. Since then, I have been working, we have been working on a behavior of the registers, specializations of the registers, all various types of registers are there, capturing all that information in an executable form and generating code from it. What's new is iSequence spec, which is a layer above registers, which helps you describe the behavior of the registers and automatically generate code from it.
So why are sequences so important to my next chip design?
If you look at chip design, sequence information is typically inside the spec in a form that everybody has to transcribe in their own domain. For example, your verification people need to create sequences in UVM. Firmware people have to create those same sequences in C and C++. And then for validation, for ATE, sequences permeate throughout the chip development process. And so sequences are very important because they form a layer above the hardware, the registers, and kind of describe the behavior of the chip. So it's very important to capture that as well. I'm surprised that we took so long to actually discover that this is an area that we should automate. And now that we've done, it's very exciting that, you know, a lot of companies want to partner with us and want to say like, hey, you're doing this. Can we partner with you? And you help us generate this low level because we don't have a clue how to go down below a certain level. You know, they can handle at the top level. They want us to go and, you know, do the dirty work, create those device drivers and stuff that people spend a lot of time doing by hand. So that's why it's an exciting area to be in now.
So registers and sequences, what's next?
Well, funny you should ask, because although we just launched iSequence spec, we're already thinking about, should I say it now? Okay, I will say it. We're thinking about design intent and verification intent. What we feel is that verification takes up a long time. It is a significant amount of time is consumed in verification process. And if we can automate maybe the test bench and the verification, if we capture the verification intent somehow, we can automate the verification itself. So that'll take away a big chunk of time that people spend on this effort. Of course, it's difficult and all that. So for us, it's a research area. So we will continue working on it. But for now, we're focusing on sequence, but since you asked what's in the future, that's area where we want to address. And we're actually working with a few customers who want to go that way. So they're holding our hand and leading us in that direction.
All right, Anupam, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, a little birdie told me that Apollo 13 was one of your all-time favorite movies. Why is that?
Yes. Actually, the movie was on TV sometime back, and I was watching it again. And in that, you know, Gary Sinise's character, he was saying, it's all in the sequence, it's all in the sequence. I'm like, great, we're going to capture this. And can we just play this on our booth? It's all in the sequence. You know, you remember that time when he's in Houston, he's trying to find out the right sequence for starting up the spaceship without going over the amperage, you know. We think, yes, sequences are very important. It's chip design. It's all in the sequence.
Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me once again, Anupam. It's always a pleasure speaking with you.
Amelia, thank you so much.
Whether we like it or not, we all need a little help sometimes, right? Whether it's your buddy in the cube two rows down who always knows where your bugs are. What is up with that? Anyway, my next guest is Bob Smith, longtime guest on Fish Fry, who is here to chat with us about the electronic system Design Alliance. Why do we need it? What have they done for us lately? And what is Jazz Cellars up to these days? Okay, that last one is totally about wine and not about EDA, but it's cool nonetheless. Trust me. Here we go.
My guest today is Bob Smith, Executive Director of the Electronic System Design Alliance. Thank you so much for joining me again, Bob.
Thank you. A pleasure to be here.
First off, when we last met, you had just joined EDAC, and now it's been rebranded as the ESD Alliance. So give me the scoop on why that is.
Well, I think it's no secret, I was brought in to try to kind of rethink what EDAC was. And after talking to a lot of people and kind of studying our market, I came to the conclusion that we're really part of the design ecosystem. And is EDA an important part of that? Absolutely. But what about IP? My gosh, IP is growing faster than EDA sales by almost, I don't know, 2 or 3x. As an aside, in our own market statistics service, it's now surpassed the CAE portion, which is the biggest portion of EDA in terms of revenue. So it's on a tear. So I kind of was thinking about how can we be more inclusive? Let's look at the design ecosystem. Well, there's IP providers, and we do have some IP folks in EDAC, and they're still there, but we didn't really emphasize it. And what about embedded software? I mean, my gosh, you know, we can build a chip with 5 billion transistors, but, you know, it needs the software to tell it what to do, basically. And what about system scaling? This is all kind of all new stuff, but people are saying, gee, can I really go build a whole bunch of chips at 7 nanometers? Well, some companies will, but a lot are going to look at other ways of putting heterogeneous functions together, maybe with die. Of course, you hear about 3D IC and so forth. So we stepped back, and of course I had to talk to the board and get them on, you know, to get them behind it. But I said, so there's a big group actually, semi.org, that manages the manufacturing ecosystem. Why don't we set our vision to be the group that is the forum for the design ecosystem? Everything that happens before it goes to manufacturing. We spent a lot of time trying to come up with a name, and I still get teased all the time by engineers like, oh, you're doing electrostatic discharge. We wanted to have the word system in there because we believe the world is moving to more of a system design viewpoint. I think everyone would agree with that. Still wanted to have design in there because we're not saying we're representing manufacturing. And then electronics. So it was electronic system design and then alliance instead of consortium. And for whatever reason, my thought, alliance always sounded like a more positive, we're banding together to do good stuff, whereas consortium sounded like maybe it was people smoking cigars in a back room plotting. And funny enough, most people agreed with that. They said, yeah, we think alliance is a more positive word. Sorry for the long story, but that's how we got to the name.
Nice. So what are some of the alliance's new initiatives?
That's a great question. A couple I'm very excited about. One is we've been working with Warren Savage of IP Extreme, which is now part of Silvaco. That was announced last week, on this initiative around IP fingerprinting, which is something that Warren's company came up with the technology. And it's, believe it or not, it's really driven by the accounting firms who need to go in and audit these big chips to understand what license technology is in it, how much did you pay for it, we need to see the license agreement. And the fingerprinting gives you a way as a big company to run through, and it'll actually build a report that says, here are all the IP blocks that are in here, and here's the rev number and the date number on them. So, okay, so he has this technology. Why would the alliance do something like that? Well, because for it to really work, we need to develop some common methodologies for how do companies track and audit IP and some best practices. So we're not a standards group, and we don't have any intent to become a standards group, but we've got a tremendous amount of interest of IP vendors and chip companies that want to be involved in this to kind of set kind of some ground rules going forward because IP is so important. The second one I'll mention is in the system scaling. So we have Herb Ryder, who's well known in the industry in the 3D IC, 2.5D system scaling space. In fact, we just published a guide. We collaborated with him, a new guide that basically captures every piece of information we could find out about this. It's almost 500 pages long. It's on our website. It's a free download. Free. Anybody can look at it. And if you really want to understand what's going on and who the players are, that's the place to go. So we're working with Herb to build a working group to bring together manufacturing and design automation and analysis. It turns out that the manufacturers are further along with their technology and they've invested in it. And they're like, where are the designs? We need more designs. And the designers tell us, well, we need more automation. We can take a PDK, which is great at helping us build a chip, but now the chip is sitting on a substrate, and which is talking to another chip, and then that's bonded out to something else. So it's a very complex thermal, mechanical, and actually electrical. More automation is needed to bring it all together, really.
So what else is new at the Alliance? You got any more juicy gossip for me?
Oh, boy, what else is new? Though I will say one other area that we're definitely interested in, and I just haven't, frankly, had the time to move it further along, is embedded software, which is, I know, is a broad term, but we're thinking of it more in terms of the hardware-software interface, if you will. So the software that's actually, you know, wiggling the transistors. And then one other unrelated thing is we do intend for this to be an international organization. And I think that while EDEC did a good job, I think a lot of people think of it as a West Coast, U.S.-only organization, although we have one or two members in Japan, we have some in Europe, but it was very geographically kind of centered there. And we just signed up our first member out of China, and I'm finding a lot of interest from there's a lot of activity over there, and there's a lot of people interested in this kind of organization. Also doing a better job in Europe, and even reaching out to the East Coast of the U.S. where we still have members, and we're actually going to plan an event for the fall out there to kind of get everybody together and network.
Nice. All right, Bob, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, I know you're upping the ante with your winemaking by opening a tasting room for your jazz cellars in Murphy's, California. Tell me more about that.
Sure. Yeah, it's a big step. It's an exciting project. Murphy's, for your listeners who don't know about it, which will probably be a lot of them, it's a small, very historic gold rush town in California. It's just a charming town. There's lots of wine tasting rooms, so it's become a destination for a lot of people in the Bay Area and Northern California. Come there, spend the weekend. There's antique shops. There's all kinds of food. And it turns out my partner that I started the business with, he and I both have separate, you know, vacation homes up there. And I've always liked it up there. And now it's kind of boomed as a wine town. So it's taken us almost 2 years. It's so popular and busy that finding a lease took us almost 2 years, because as soon as somebody is thinking about leaving, word gets out on the street and the for rent sign never goes up. But we finally lucked into something, and we're building it out right now and hoping to be open by the end of July.
Excellent. I will have to make a trip to Murphy's, California. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Bob. It's always a pleasure speaking with you.
Oh, same here. I enjoy our meetings at DAC every year. It's fun. Thanks so much.
Speaking of EDA, let's talk about signal integrity. High-speed serial interfaces can present us with some of the biggest challenges in board design today. Getting signal integrity right on your board with speeds into the gigabits can be tricky at best. In my most recent episode of Chalk Talk, entitled Addressing the Challenges of Serial Link Design and Analysis, I sit down with the super awesome SI guru of the stars, Brad Griffin, of Cadence Design Systems, and we talk about using Cadence's Sigrity Analysis Tool to nail down your next serial interface design. You can check out this episode of Chalk Talk by clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com, by heading on over to YouTube, keyword eejournal, or navigating on over to the on-demand section of eejournal.com. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if Google Plus is your thing, you can also join our circle on Google Plus. And we have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, keyword EE Journal, chock full of all kinds of techie videos, our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series, and our video series called On the Scene. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can also grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of August 19th, 2016, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.